4 more eliminated teams, 8 remain, and the coaching hires have begun. You are exactly where you ought to be, and that is with us here at the Push Off.
Set them up and knock them down till the early morning light, till you're laughing on the ground, drinking every single night. Where we're going, we don't know, and where we're going, we don't know. Where we're going, we don't know until we know. Where we're going, we don't know, and where we're going.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Push Off Podcast. I am your host, Scott Hogan, and sitting across from the table from me this week is...
Dan Victory Tuesday, right? That's what we're recording on Tuesday. I already had my Victory Monday. I'm going to have Victory Tuesday. I think I'm going to take the whole rest of the week off for victories.
Make it a victory week.
Why not?
Dan, you're happy. Your team is still alive in those 8 that I mentioned at the top of the broadcast.
Yeah, we are alive and kicking. Well, you know, he missed a kick, but at least he didn't miss one really bad at the end of the game.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. We got all those games to talk about, which were some exciting ones. Maybe one of them was kind of a snoozy, but...
Yeah, I mean, one was a bit of a stinker, but that's not too bad.
They all kind of came back to good plays and excitement in them, and that was nice to see. And then also the coaching has begun, too, and all that hiring, so I kind of want to start there with the news.
Yeah.
So let's jump into it, but first, the news... This is Tuesday that we're recording this. Last night was the college national championship. Clemson won 44-16 over Alabama. That is all of the college football I got for you.
Yep, I didn't watch it at all. You know why? Because I don't fuck with my methods. I don't scout live games a lot.
That's smart.
And I know that when I look at Clemson and Alabama, there's a lot of prospects to come out.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to watch that shit live. You want to watch technique. You don't want to just see things in the emotion of the moment because you get a little confused.
Deshaun Watson was a Clemson QB.
He was.
Won the national championship for them 2 years ago.
Yep. Right before Alabama to do it.
Did it help him at all winning the championship, becoming a first-round draft pick?
I think it does. Anytime you have champion on your resume,
yeah.
if it's close, they go, well, kid's a winner, especially as a quarterback. Wide receiver, doesn't matter so much. Linebacker, it matters a little bit. But Ben Bulwer...
Yeah,
who came out the exact same year, was like the defensive captain at Clemson, didn't get drafted.
Okay,
so it doesn't fucking matter.
Take what you will on there, but yeah, wins and losses in QBs, so apparently that's a big correlation.
You know, some people like wins from their quarterbacks,
yeah,
and some people are the Oakland Raiders.
And others, just when they're not playing good teams, Kirk Cousins.
Oh,
no,
poor Kirk.
Also in the news, heading to the NFL side, the Steelers trading Antonio Brown. That was a lot of news this week. What are we thinking, Dan?
Well, after his performance on The Masked Singer, I can understand it.
Yeah.
You want to clear yourself of that as fast as you can.
Oh, my God. Yeah, let's take 2 steps back for people who might be NFL fans, but obviously the rest of you. Who are the cross-center of NFL fans and Masked Singer
There's somebody
viewers?
Out there. I don't know. My wife watched it. I didn't watch it. She's like, it was a football player? I was like, who? Think he was some schlub-ass dude. She's like, Antonio? I was like, fucking AB? I was like, the premier wide receiver of his general. What the fuck?
That's what happened to me. I'm at work on Monday after the mess, right before, or it was, I guess, later in the week because we already recorded. We found out about it last week. So Antonio Brown, all that mess happened the weekend before. And then, at work, they're like, oh, did you see the Masked Singer? And it's like, do they reveal somebody right away? Oh, yeah, they already did, the hippo or whatever. And it's like, who was it? Some football player. I think he played for the Raiders or something. And I'm like, well, let me see who it is. And then, Antonio Brown.
What the fuck, man?
This guy who won't be bothered to stay at his game where he's getting paid for an NFL player, an all-star player, pro bowler, which he's not
all
going
pro.
Now, which Juju is taking his place.
Good for Juju.
Does Juju take his place as the number one wide receiver in the Pittsburgh Steelers next
I don't
year?
Think so. His contract is so cumbersome.
Yeah.
So cumbersome. That contract is a millstone, and it can only really hang around the neck of the Steelers. Because the one thing, unless you're desperate to get rid of him, there's a team out there that can absorb this contract. Some Brown-style team. It's just like, I'll just fucking absorb it and get AB. But AB doesn't want to go to a rebuilding team. He wants to go to a team that's ready to win now. His best opportunity is probably to stick with the Steelers and just fucking figure it out.
Him and Big Ben are not seeing eye to eye. That seems to be a problem all this season is what we're hearing. And I don't know, a guy that's already causing this issue. There was later on after this, their head coach Tomlin having like a presser or whatever. And then after that, it was like Antonio Brown is going to have an interview with James Harrison. Stay tuned. Like they're going to throw that on Facebook Live or something. And then they realized that was bad form and pulled away from that. So
this strikes me as watching two people that are like, I think we're going to get divorced, but like they just had a kid and just bought a new house.
Ghoul.
And you're like, maybe just go to couples therapy for a year. Maybe just for a year. Just give it a try. You guys have really, really overextended yourself here.
But if there's a cancer in that locker room, you might want to cut that out. And I think it might be Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Which is nuts because he's the best wide receiver in the league.
He's the best wide receiver. He's the best player on their team.
Yes.
And they started this. They started this with Le'Veon.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too.
You got to remember that. If Le'Veon Bell had been re-signed to a contract, they basically said no individual player is above the team. And I appreciate Antonio Brown being like, let's see.
Yeah. Let's test it again another year. I mean, and that's another reason for the Steelers. You want to go through this again. But is there a little bit, too? I heard rumors that Antonio Brown might be a little jealous that it worked out for Bell. Bell's going to get paid massively this offseason here. Now,
we don't know that.
That's true. I don't know how much is going to hurt him because he didn't play all the year or whatever. But still think he's going to get a top salary for a running back.
AB is getting that money. If there's anything AB is jealous about, when you're making this much money, he's not on his first deal.
No, he's gotten two contracts in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
but he could have maybe gotten more if he tested free agency.
You can always get more. Yeah, you can always get more. But at the same time, I feel like his contract is very fair. Okay. Could he make more money? Maybe that's all this is. Maybe it's a $5 million payday, and in return they say, "Hey, you want to make more money? That's fine. Let's free ourselves up a little bit from your back end contract because you're in your 30s.
Okay.
So there's room to be had. There's negotiations to be had here.
Okay. We'll see. It's something to watch in the offseason. Will Antonio Brown still be in that black and yellow?
Want to take a pay cut and come to Dallas? I'm fine with it. We'll give you a sixth rounder. So,
Vikings are okay at wide receiver, but still look great in purple. Yeah.
You know what? Straight up for Laquan Treadwell.
I'll do it. All right. Let's start that. Coach Carousel.
Bing, ba-ding, ding, ding.
The first hire that happened of the eight teams that need a new quarterback was the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
And their first hire was Matt LaFleur, the old Falcons QB coach from 2015-2016.
Yeah.
And then Rams offensive coordinator in 2017, Titans offensive coordinator just last year.
So it's interesting that he's getting a lot of pub because he did great with Matt Ryan as a quarterback coach.
2015-2016, wasn't Matt Ryan in the league five years by then?
Yeah, so I'm not exactly giving him a lot of credit.
Okay. You said that first, and I was like, I read that going, how is that Matt LaFleur's credit?
Yeah. This is like a guy coming in as the offensive coordinator now for Aaron Rodgers being like, well, look at Aaron Rodgers. Like,
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is older. What's maybe the year? I'm trying to figure out how long was Matt Ryan the head – The starting QB for the Falcons when LaFleur took over.
Matt Ryan had been the starting quarterback for 6 years.
Okay, so
for 6 years.
Think about somebody coming into their sixth season now as a QB. That's who he'd be taking over for. Yeah,
he was established. He was established. Yeah. Now he was the quarterback coach during Matt Ryan's MVP season.
Okay,
so you do get a little bit of credit there.
Yeah,
but. And then Matt Ryan kind of came down to earth the two seasons that he wasn't there. So, you know, sometimes they do that math of addition by subtraction.
Yeah.
How good were you? I don't know. How much did it suck when you weren't there?
I'll tell you what. I looked at the stats of Matt Ryan for this season. Mm-hmm. Very close to his his MVP season. Only difference is too many other quarterbacks were even better than him this year.
His diet was poor. He didn't eat nearly enough W's.
There it is.
Not nearly enough. W's.
Sorry. Okay. Rams offensive coordinator in 2017.
That's McVay.
That's the McVay connection that everyone wants right now.
Sure, but you're not Sean McVay. You were just Sean McVay's offensive coordinator. If anything, you're an errand boy to two really generational talents in Matt Ryan and Sean McVay. I'm not seeing you do magic with shit dudes. Yeah. I'm seeing you do really well with great guys.
Yeah.
What I'm seeing.
Did he get some of that Sean McVay play calling? Did he sneak some of that? And then did he figure out what Matt Ryan does best and he's going to ball that in and throw it at Aaron Rodgers?
And so Aaron Rodgers goes, no thanks, I'm already Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
That'll be quite all right.
So this is an interesting one. I see the memes everywhere of Dodgeball, LeFleur, and all that's everywhere. Even Aaron Rodgers himself, doing the chant on Instagram. It was weird. This meant Josh McDaniels seems like he's going to stay in New England, like this was the only job he was interested in.
I feel like Josh McDaniels knows after his time in Denver that if you don't have a quarterback, If you don't have a really good quarterback, people blame you real fast.
Why not Cleveland, Josh McDaniels? Did he talk to Belichick?
I don't think Cleveland was interested.
Ooh.
I don't think Cleveland was interested in Josh McDaniels.
Okay.
Because the one thing I don't want, because we know Baker Mayfield is a dirty white boy.
Yes,
as much as we do love him. You know, we've come around on Baker Mayfield.
I love him.
The last time he had a dirty white boy quarterback, his name was Jay Cutler, and that didn't go so well.
No.
So when you have that, you need a kind of salty, steady guy to come in for Baker, a defensive-minded guy to let Baker do his thing. And that's not Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels is going to get in there. He's going to tinker. And the Browns are actually pretty happy with the second half of their season. So I think that might be an in-house hire. It might be Greg Williams' job to lose.
Okay. And you know what?
Or it makes, Kitchens.
Or Kitchens. And Kitchens is one, too, which we'll talk about in a second. But I think, yeah, you make a good point there. After Josh McDaniels and the junk shit, I'll say shit. I can say that on this podcast.
Why not?
That he did an indie. Maybe that's a big reason to stay away from the guy. Like, hold on, you accepted a job and then backed out of it and made the Colts look very silly. That I don't trust you.
Colts are very happy he did
to hire you. Yeah, the Buccaneers do not trust you. No. We're not going to hire you.
They're like, all right, we appreciate that from a pirate mentality, but fuck you, buddy.
It sounds like Mike Pettine, they want to stay as defensive coordinator. That's not for sure yet. What do you think?
Honestly, I feel like they want Pettine to stick around. And with this hiring of LaFleur, it is possible.
Okay.
It is possible.
I think so, too.
And I don't think Pettine is really in the line for like a promotion here. I don't think he's on anybody's head coaching radar. Another season with a rebuilt Packers defense, those two corners in their second
young
year.
Defense coming back. Yeah.
I think Pettine would be better served to stay with this defense that he is rebuilding, that all of a sudden has new additions and, you know, some
pieces.
I agree
with you, but most of the time it's not the coordinator's choice. It's like head coach, front office, like it's built into your contract, right?
I think
I'll take the head coach, but you let me pick my guys.
Yeah, I think it would behoove LaFleur
to
keep Pettine.
I think it would behoove
him to keep it, because why do you come in there? You know there's problems on the offense.
Yeah.
You know you've got to make some changes, but the Packers are in a pretty good spot. All of a sudden, Aaron Jones is a pretty decent running back.
Yeah.
So you're doing okay there. You have wide receivers that are pretty decent and young. Equanimeous St. Brown is doing pretty well.
Got to see who they got there.
There's guys.
Yeah.
There's guys. There's Valdez Scantling. There's Equanimeous St. Brown. There's young talent to be had.
There's a lot of long names. We'll see who they
are. David Bakhtiari.
Davante Adams and then a bunch of guys. We'll see who these guys are.
A couple of additions. LaFleur is going to have an interesting bag of tricks that he'll be able to play from. So we'll see how he does. We'll see if he decides to keep Pettine, or if, like all these years before, Aaron Rodgers is buoying a dying defense and an otherwise effective offense.
I mean, first-time head coach, this is interesting. Some of them shoot off immediately. Others take a few years. Some of them never get there. So we'll have to wait and see. Also, this means that Marcus Mariota, there in Tennessee, will have his fourth new offensive coordinator in 5 years.
Blaine Gabbert just puts his hand on his shoulder and goes, bro, I know.
Yeah, we've been there.
I've been there, bro. Sucks, bro.
Another hire that happened just today as we're recording, Cardinals hiring Cliff Kingsbury. Now, real quick, Cliff Kingsbury got a 4-year deal.
Say that five
times
fast. Yeah. Cliff Kingsbury.
And his first name is K-L-I-F-F.
I know. Fuck
Cliff.
You, Cliff.
Texas Tech head coach initially, 6 seasons, record 35-40 there. And then last year, USC's offensive coordinator. And USC didn't kind of had an off season too.
Well, no, he was hired at the end of the season.
Oh, so he was just brought in.
He never actually coached.
You're kidding.
A game for them.
Okay,
that's
so
it.
I'm picking up on this guy now too.
He coached their. Did they even go to the bowl game? I don't fucking know. Yeah, but he was there for December 5th. He was hired December 5th at USC.
This guy was an old backup QB for the Patriots, the Jets, and the Saints. He was brought in to be the backup for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
At one point in this guy's career, now he's going to be a head coach.
He's not even 40 years old.
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury is interesting for a couple reasons.
Okay.
Number one, he was coached by famed Texas Tech head coach Spike Dyke. I kid you not, that was the name of a real human man. His name, first name is actually Walter, but his nickname was Spike
Dyke.
I'd
go by Spike if my last name was Dyke.
Absolutely. Spike Dyke's the
Walter.
Way to go. Yeah, come on.
Walter
Dyke? Get out of here. So, coached by Spike Dyke, when he took over Texas Tech in 2013, this is a man after Scott Hogan's very own heart. He was given the head coaching position, $10 million contract, and supervision and final authority over uniform changes.
Is that right?
That is what he requested from Texas Tech. He wanted to be able to make changes and
to
make
Texas
final changes
Tech's
to the uniform.
Uniforms. Mm-hmm. Now I have to go back and see what was Cliff's choices when it came
Not
to
great.
The, to
Not
the
great.
Red Raiders?
Yeah.
Red Raider, Texas Tech. Okay.
So Cliff Kingsbury did a couple things that were interesting. One, he was the offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach at Houston for the days of Case Keenum.
Okay.
And then he became the offensive. He became the head coach at Texas Tech. Oh, sorry, he then was the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M for Johnny Manziel.
That's right.
Then he went on to Texas Tech, and in his freshman year, he had Baker Mayfield. But he did not extend Baker Mayfield a scholarship in his sophomore year, forcing Baker Mayfield to transfer to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But he also once again got Pat Mahomes. And Pat Mahomes was quarterback for 3 years.
Absolutely, Mahomes was there.
Now, they were not a great team. Now, this is it was a tough conference, but there was never really like consistent winning seasons out of Texas Tech. Cliff Kingsbury got a lot of pub for being young and handsome, but not necessarily for turning that program around.
No, it's not a very good one. I mean, he got fired from Texas Tech after his last couple seasons were losing records there. Yeah. And then, yeah, ends up USC offense coordinator. You say he's barely was that. They did put a break on him interviewing for a job. So he had to basically quit the OC job to get even interviews for
a head
coach.
He had to pay his own buyout just to get out. But the Cardinals seem very excited about him. He does run an air raid offense. So unless these Cardinals are suddenly getting more talent at the wide receiver position, although Christian Kirk is probably very excited.
Yeah.
And if, honestly, if I'm anybody playing on that offense, except for David Johnson, I'm very excited that we're going to score some points.
Kingsbury also interviewed for the Jets, so it seemed like if he was going to get a job, he was going to get a job with a rookie QB that he maybe knew, that, you know, something he can grow with. So, yeah, the Cardinals get him, but a guy who was a head coach in college and didn't have exactly a lot of success and then switching over to the NFL, this doesn't work a lot.
Well, no.
Okay.
But it doesn't work a lot bringing guys from college anyway.
True. That's you what know? I'm saying, yeah.
So I'm okay with having a college coach that maybe fits your philosophical scheme a little bit better than maybe this, you know, head coach that's my way or the highway sort of guy. It didn't work for Nick Saban in Miami.
Okay.
It didn't work.
All right.
It didn't work in Atlanta for what the fuck is his nuts for, what's it, Petrino?
Petrino. Oh, God, Petrino.
It
didn't
work He's for good. Chip Kelly.
Right,
in
Chip Kelly.
And it doesn't
Philly
work for
or
guys.
In San Francisco, no.
So what we're seeing now is not a run towards, I want a great head coach. They're, I want young, innovative dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And Cliff Kingsbury, to his credit, is a young, innovative dude. Josh Rosen is a sort of prototypical, traditional quarterback.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see, because Rosen has the arm, he has the accuracy, I like his pocket awareness. We will see what he's able to do with Josh Rosen, but I think he's going to help him.
Okay.
Everywhere he's gone, he's turned quarterbacks into successful quarterbacks.
Mm.
You know, he's had the coaching there to make quarterbacks into more successful than they were when they first came across him.
Okay.
Pat Mahomes was a 3-star recruit before Cliff Kingsbury, and then he became a top 10 pick. Baker Mayfield was a fucking walk-on who only got things to Rice and all these like shit ass colleges. Those are the only ones offering him a scholarship. An off season with Cliff Kingsbury, all of a sudden he's tearing things up. Whatever personal differences they had, clearly Cliff Kingsbury helped Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Clearly.
That's neat. That's really cool though. So yeah, what will he do with Rosen? What will he do with this? I mean, this is a everything torn away Arizona Cardinals team that really needs a rebuild. So,
well, you're not, the nice thing is you're not from a, I want to make an analogy here to building a house.
Mm-hmm.
You're not at the studs. You're not at the studs. You're at the studs when you don't have a quarterback.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
You're at the studs when you don't have any playmakers on offense.
They got a solid running back in his fourth year.
You got a solid running back. You have a young quarterback. This is
young wide
an
receiver
empty
some
house.
Talent. Yeah, yeah, okay.
This is an empty house. Paint the walls. Get some furniture.
Decorate that feng shui.
Get that feng shui right.
What are you gonna bring in?
How are you going feng shui? Are you gonna do a water fountain? Are you gonna do one of those little, you know, meditation fountains?
It's Arizona. Yeah, they're gonna need some water.
You have to. You can't have grass.
No.
That's just a waste of water.
No, it's just dust.
So I'm interested to see what Kingsbury does here.
Me too.
And I think this is a good hire.
Cliff, you got the number one overall pick. Who's it going to be?
It better be defense, Cliff.
Yeah, it better be. Oh, put the pass rusher. What's his name?
There's too many good guys. It could be Ed Oliver. It could be Nick Bosa. I think it's going to be Bosa just because of the pass rush ability, but I would not be surprised to see it. Rashawn Gary is going to be a top 10 pick. That's I love him out of Michigan.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Interesting. All right.
And trade that shit. I don't know. There's enough talent here. If you've got somebody, say the Oakland Raiders, want to move up there, and get a guy, you can get two first-round picks. Three first-round picks out of the Oakland Raiders if you really want
Who's that quarterback going to shoot up the draft board?
It's not going to be. It'll
be in a couple of months. He'll know.
We'll see.
And then finally, as our place of recording this, and me and Dan know, as soon as we finish this and put it up, there'll be all the rest of the coaching hires. We'll be
one
filled
can only
in.
Hope.
We only have time to do this once a week, guys. Find us a way to quit our jobs, and we'll feed this to you all week long. But until then,
I'll record every morning at 7 a.m.
There you go. I only have one other head coach hire to talk about. Bruce Arians to Tampa Bay. That happened today.
You got
to
love the Kangol, baby.
What's crazy for me is it seemed like Bruce Arians was done. The guy is in his 70s.
He's old.
At least. He did everything in Arizona. He led him to the Super Bowl. And then two games much closer, right up to it, too. Couldn't get it over there. Carson Palmer, bunch of injuries. The team got old. He got old. He retired. He went to the booth. I thought he was okay, even as a booth guy. He kind of just throws in ideas once in a while instead of, like, a smooth transition. But I can understand him. He had an eye for football, as
smart
a head
man.
Coach should.
He's a guy that, as you could see him in the booth, you could tell he missed it.
Yes.
Even in the booth. So I think he wanted to walk away clean.
It was funny. After the Cleveland firing, Bruce Arians was kind of the first one to raise his hand going, well, I'd be interested. I'm like, oh, okay. This was just a year off.
And that's okay.
Oh, absolutely. I think he got out of Arizona at the perfect time.
Absolutely.
It doesn't hurt him to have a shit team there.
No. When he took over Arizona, they were not good. By the time he left, they had been good and basically overstayed their welcome. And that's okay.
Let's remember, he got his start because Pagano. What's his first
Chuck
name?
Pagano.
Chuck Pagano went through cancer treatment.
Yeah, he was the coach of the year 2 years in a row.
Yeah, he filled
one
in.
One as an assistant, and then one as a head coach of the Cardinals.
So, yeah, he does know what he's doing. We're glad the Kangol's back. In Tampa's a pretty interesting situation, too. I think he felt like he was going to be retiring to Florida anyway. So
oh, yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Get there early and get a paycheck.
This is a reprieve for Jameis Winston. That's all this can be measured as, is an absolute reprieve for Jameis Winston's career.
Yeah.
Because if you can't get your career back on track with Bruce Arians, you're done, son.
That's true.
And if you can, you get that second contract. Things get lucrative for you.
Also, Bruce Arians, a previous head coach, is going to be bringing his guys along. I've already heard that he's talking about Todd Bowles going to be the defensive coordinator.
Good idea.
Almost seems like a done deal, which, yeah, would be a good idea to get that fixed there in
Tampa. Arians has the personality Todd Bowles lacks.
There you go.
So they are a good match together on the offense and the defense. So I would be really happy to see Todd Bowles go back and do what he is actually competent at and be a good D coordinator.
Tampa should be very excited about that matchup there. They should be less excited about the Browns special teams guy, Amos Jones, being talked about coming over to be the special teams coordinator, who had a historically bad year in Cleveland this year.
Well, maybe he missed his daddy Bruce. Maybe that's all it is.
Perhaps.
Maybe there's some separation anxiety.
There was a push today for Jim Caldwell to take the job in Tampa Bay. A lot of rumors came up there. I don't know if that was just to get the money down for Bruce Arians or something. Bruce Arians had an interview with his doctor there to make sure that he was healthy enough for this position. I'm pretty sure Tampa had his name at the top and goes, as long as he ain't going to keel over with a heart attack in by week eight,
just don't
we're
going to
hire him. Yeah.
Just don't die.
And I'm excited. I'm excited for that one. All right. So those are the hires so far. And if you look, they're only the NFC teams. All five that are left are the AFC teams. What are you doing over there, AFC?
There's a bunch. Fangio's getting some interviews.
That's what I was about to hit on. These are the rumor ones. So Vic Fangio spent Monday, like all of Monday, with John Elway. Wining and dining him, but Elway has done this.
69 in him?
I didn't say that. I don't know where Vic lies on that. John would love it. I've also heard he did the same with Mike Munchak.
Yeah.
So he's a rumor there, too.
Having himself a bit of a munch.
Oh.
I don't know why I'm insinuating that John Elway's gay.
It's gotten real dirty. And then Chuck Pagano, but it doesn't sound like Chuck Pagano's there anymore. He was just the guy that was available for an interview earlier.
He just wanted to check his Pagano? I don't know. I'm out of gay stuff.
The rule is that after the wild card weekend, you're available for interviews, or once you're removed?
After the wild card. So Chris Richard, the basically passing game coordinator, effectively Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator.
The Richard guy. Yeah.
He's been doing his interviews too. You can hire guys now. It is considered kind of bad form to leave your position. It's also considered kind of bad form to, like, actually hire a fucking guy until everything's said and done, until they're eliminated.
I remember last year in New York, what's his name, getting the head coaching job.
Oh, your boy.
Yeah. And then he was hired on the day after the Vikings lost the championship game.
Usually they have the job lined up. So yes. I think, you know, Fangio is going to be available. The teams that are holding out for Chris Rassard, they're going to hold out until the Cowboys are eliminated, hopefully sometime in February.
Okay.
Eliminated by victory.
I don't know who Denver wants. I know Bears don't want to lose Fangio, and the other side doesn't want to lose Munchak. So those are probably the two it's up against now. I think it's leaning Vic Fangio right now.
I think so. And Fangio deserves an opportunity. He's coached under a bunch of really good head coaches, both Harbaugh, who's kind of a classically good head coach, and also Matt Nagy, who deserves the Coach of the Year, who's an innovative young guy. So I think it's going to give Fangio a nice spectrum to draw from an experience.
And a defensive play caller, what team that's available do you want to go to, if not the Denver Broncos?
The strange thing is with Denver is they're going to go with a defensive coach because I think they want to hold on to their offensive coordinator.
Another thing is there's a weird scenario with Gary Kubiak, who left the head coaching position with his health issues and such. Now
stepped down with the Texans, then took over the job in Denver, then stepped down for health reasons. Now taking over the job in Denver?
Yeah, I mean, if he's healthy, I think that's the number one guy Denver wants, so that would change Vic Fangio and all that stuff. So I think they've definitely looked over there always, like, it's available again, can I have you back? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Gary Kubiak, so can't say that for sure.
If Gary Kubiak's still there, it's honestly like dating somebody that still lives with their ex-husband.
Mm.
You're like, I'm very happy with you. Oh, man, I'm so excited to go on this date. Who the fuck is that? Oh, that's my ex-husband.
He said, don't worry, my name's Gary.
My name's Gary.
I'm just on the couch here.
You guys, two have a great time.
Yeah. If you need some alone time, just I'll put a tie on the door.
Just whisper, old Gary, stay on out. I got respect for a lot of you guys. I understand my limitations. By the way, love you. Love you too, Gary. What the fuck is going on?
I don't know.
Just hire him. Just be with him, John, if you want to be with him. You know what? That's why I'm making all these gay analogies for John. That's what it is. His deep love for Gary
Kubiak's hanging around there.
Because Kubiak was his backup for a little while. Then Kubiak was his offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Then when he became the president of operations, like, Gary, baby, come on back. He wants Gary Kubiak to be the head coach of these Broncos.
Mm.
He wants it.
Yeah,
but Kubiak's not ready.
Yeah, I don't think Kubiak's, I don't know. I don't know his health, so I think that's what the questionable thing is. But if not him, Vic Fangio, Mike Munchak, something to look.
Why not?
Keep an eye on. Brown's head coaching job, Freddie Kitchens is still there. He's getting interviews. He's in the building, so he's not going anywhere until they figure out if they want him or not. And then I've heard Kevin Stefanski, the Vikings offense coordinator for just the last three games.
Strange.
Hasn't done much, but he's getting head coaching interviews, and one of them was with Cleveland. He was heading back there for a second interview today, so I don't know what's going on there either.
Good luck to him.
Yep.
I think you guys need to change things up a little bit on the offensive side. I think Stefanski moving on would probably be good for the Vikings.
His contract is up as of today, so he could go on if he gets a head coaching job. If he doesn't, he could come back as our offensive coordinator, but since he's getting looks at head coaching job, I don't know if we're going to see him back.
I don't think so.
So this leaves us just a couple other teams. The Jets, are they going to go with McCarthy? That seems like, Mike McCarthy's still hanging out there.
I wouldn't be against it. You know, I like the Arians hire. It's exciting. McCarthy's probably the next best actual retread head coach that you can go and get.
Unless you want to try Adam Gase.
No.
You don't put him in head coaching
at this
again.
Point,
coordinator again.
Somewhere. I feel like Gase is coming back and being an offensive coordinator.
I haven't heard a thing from Cincinnati camp. I'm not even quite sure who they're interviewing. I don't know who they're looking at other than maybe Hugh Jackson again.
There's a part of me that thinks they're probably waiting on someone from this. That's not fair. The defensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, yeah, Eberflus.
Matt Eberflus is a former linebackers coach for these Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed on with Rob Ryan. He was a defense quality control coach and linebackers coach for the Browns while Rob Ryan was there. Followed Rob Ryan to Dallas. And when Rob Ryan was fired, they're like, Matt, don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They offered Eberflus the defensive coordinator job in Dallas this year before he left to go join Indianapolis to be the defensive coordinator. I think Eberflus is the next guy. Okay. I think Eberflus is the guy. I think he's going to go to Cincinnati.
Looks.
They want to keep him in the AFC. They've seen what he's able to do. I think Eberflus is the next head coach of these Cincinnati Bengals.
You just about said Miami's available, though, too. I've only been hearing other head coaches go, no thanks. So there's not a lot of interest in Miami here, and I would assume Cincinnati's at the bottom of this list, too, of the teams that are available.
I would much rather go to Miami. I would much rather go to Cincinnati than Miami.
You think so?
Yeah. Miami does not have a quarterback.
Nope.
Cincinnati has more of one. Miami does not really have a running back. Kenyon Drake, who knows? Frank Gore, who knows?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a good
Cincinnati
point.
Does.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, Cincinnati got them. How are we feeling about Kenny Stills?
Yeah.
Defense, shambles and old, or shambles and young. I'll take shambles and young. And I think Eberflus is looking at that going, the offense can kind of be left alone in Cincinnati. I can probably take this defense, turn it into something good. Maybe we can be a problem in that division.
I guess you're right. The only thing Miami has is the weather, and it's still in Florida, so maybe not.
Yeah, if you got money, dude, everything's Florida.
All right.
Fuck it.
And then finally, the Falcons have hired some coordinators. Dirk Cutter, the old Buccaneers coordinator, is going to be their offensive coordinator, and Mike Mularkey is going to be their tight ends coach.
You mean their former offensive coordinator, Dirk Cutter?
Yeah, he's back.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there
during those Matt Ryan years.
Earlier than ever, than LaFleur.
Yep.
Right? Okay. So there's more LaFleur of a reason.
LaFleur worked under him.
Okay.
So
yeah, Dirk was there first. Okay, so there's the head coaching stuff. We
God,
got through all of that.
There's a lot of head coaching stuff.
There
right?
is, and that's only three positions available, but those are big news. Those are big hires and things that we're going to see all next year, and how good are these coaches going to be to the first-time coaches like Cliff and LaFleur to old Kangle back again.
Oh, good old Kangle.
I'm excited to see. All right, Dan, let's get into Wild Card Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And get set up for what's going to happen this coming weekend, divisional round, where crazy stuff happens. As crazy as last year, any miracles going to happen?
I feel like there's going to be a miracle.
There could be a miracle.
Yeah.
This last week, we saw every network get a game, which was a kind of a first time for
fun.
Me. I believe usually the Saturday games were like always on just ABC, and then you get Fox and CBS the Sunday ones. But instead, NBC got one in there. ABC, Fox, CBS, everybody got one of the games. So it was neat to see everyone's like A-team announcers on there and who was good and who wasn't. The ABC one still had some problems. I'm not in love with that Monday Night Crew.
No.
I'm glad Booger's in the booth now.
I think Booger's going to take over.
You think Booger would take over for Witten?
I think Witten would do better on the sideline, being around dudes and getting charged up.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, I think Booger would be better up there.
I mean, Witten has a passion for it. It's not there yet.
Love you, Witt, but get better.
No team scored over 24 points this week, and that was the Cowboys had the highest score here. Now there
you
was
know, the
22s.
Offensive juggernaut that is the Dallas Cowboys.
So yeah, there all of that offensive push was not here in Wild Card Weekend. Now a lot of the strong offenses will be seeing this week, so we'll see if that remains.
You know the old adage: offense wins games, defense wins championships.
There it is. Here's what I saw before we head into the nit and gritty of each game. As an overview of the entire weekend, I felt like the teams that were winning were ones that have playoff experience or feelings of that before, for the most part. That means the teams like the Eagles, who just ran through it, the Colts and Luck, who's been there before, mostly their quarterbacks is what it comes down to, and the Chargers with Rivers. Wilson and Dak have both been there, and that was the game mm-hmm. between both of them. Dak has been there just 2 years ago with a home game, so they at least understand that aspect of it. I am more surprised that they won it because Seattle still has more experience in the playoffs, and that's what I was seeing with the other games.
The coaching staff in Seattle has more experience. The players do not.
A lot of the players don't.
You know,
that's true. I mean, Wilson does.
I don't think experience matters all that much. I don't think positive experience matters all that much. Experience does.
Experience in the playoffs in that big of a game is what I'm saying, yeah.
It doesn't matter that you lost. It doesn't matter, you know, Dak lost one. That's fine. You learn from that.
Yes.
If you experience the speed of this, because the last time we played, Dak took forever to get going. He was going and churning this whole game.
Right, and that's
the difference.
Yes, because you look at Deshaun Watson, Mitchell Trubisky.
Slow starts.
Lamar Jackson, all of
Slow
them.
Starts.
Yeah, this was like, shoot. Like, we just got used to the speed of the regular game, and now playoff speed?
Yeah.
And that's what I saw on this Wild Card Weekend. So all these guys, if they get back, you're going to see it get better like it did with Dak. And I think that's what you have to be thinking if you're one of these teams that didn't make it.
Feel better about it. If you lost this weekend, there is a silver lining for every one of these teams.
Kind of, but it's hard to get in those playoffs, let me tell you. It
really is.
Especially back-to-back years, I don't know. I'll tell you what.
It's all up to the Eagles.
Fine. Yeah, unless you're the Eagles, unless you're BDN. All right, let's start.
BDN sounds dirtier than Big Dick Nick.
It does, but I now that there's a shorthand for it.
Is that BDN? Wait, what the fuck are you into?
All right, let's start in the games. We'll start with the first one. This was Saturday afternoon. Colts 21, Texans 7. I'm the one who took the Colts in this one, Dan.
It's true. Colts were up on them immediately.
Yeah.
This offensive line, I was not aware of how fucking bad in a Michael Jackson 80s bad sort of way that they fucking are.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Across the board, Ryan Kelly, Braden Smith, Anthony Costanzo, and you know, you know that dirty, dirty man, Quentin Nelson. My goodness.
Yeah. Quentin Nelson, an all-pro.
So good.
Yeah. And then they obviously have Darius Leonard on the other side as an all-pro. No, that's true. So two rookies that are on the all-pro first teams. I mean, that itself shows how good the offseason was for the Colts.
Chris Ballard did a great job.
Also, Luck coming back. Cha-ching. You know, there you are. And
how's
and
money?
That's what it was. Andrew Luck in the beginning of this game was like, we're ready to go. And it was, I don't know, like, headlights in the eyes of the Texans. The Texans were not ready, and boom, you blinked, and it was 21-0. And it was like, I mean, I could see some magic in Deshaun Watson if he figures this out here in the second half. He started to, but it was just too late.
Yeah, by the time Deshaun was actually putting together a bit of a game, the defense for the Colts basically was just playing prevent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being up 21-0,
they just sat on that.
It's done. You're basically, somebody just holds you down and says, well, you're not going to run. We don't respect your run. We don't respect play action. We're going to bend but don't break. That's just where we're going to be.
Yeah.
But the Houston Texans got punched in the mouth. It's got to be so disappointing for J.J. Watt.
I mean, the Texans, and when they had that like 9-game winning streak in the season, it was because they were running the ball well. Now in this game, Watson was their leading rusher, and he had 76 yards, but it was mostly because I got to run this. Nobody's open.
Yeah.
Kiki Kuti came up big coming back from that injury. He's a rookie who's going to have a good career there, and Houston's a good draft pick. But they were missing Bebe.
Demaryius
Thomas. And
Will
Mack
Fuller
controlled the ball on the other side. Yeah, you're right. And Will Fuller, yeah. They had too many injuries through here, and they're starting off real slow, peaking in the middle of the season, and then kind of coming back down to earth. That cost them.
Attrition cost this team. Mm-hmm. More than any other team in the playoffs. Attrition really was, I think with Bebe, with Fuller, this offense is more effective, can probably do some things against this defense, this very good Colts defense. Without them, you could see them get exposed pretty quickly.
I guess the big thing is they got to keep the Colts from putting up 21 points immediately on you, and that's
right
the
away.
Defense. So, yeah, Texans were just not ready for this one. The Colts are going on. The Colts are going to be playing the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City this Saturday at 3:35.
If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you got to be like, fuck me, dude.
I know.
Really? We got to play the Colts, who Andrew Luck, one of the greatest games in playoff history was Andrew Luck fucking the Chiefs.
When they were down 28-0. Yeah, came back, roaring back and won it.
If you're the Chiefs with this suspect defense, the one thing you don't want to see walk into town is Andrew Luck and this offensive line. And you don't want to see Darius Leonard in that defense because all of a sudden you've got a pretty good matchup for Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
I don't want this. This is not what I want if I'm Kansas City.
Well, we watch Kansas City blowing teams away throughout the season, a couple of tougher ones later on, but this is when it gets sobering for them. This is a Kansas City team I grew up so many times. They are 0-4 as the number one or number two seed in history. And with those losses, they were to twice the Colts, and then the Patriots, and I think the Broncos. So it's the history doesn't look good for the Chiefs. And then, all right, well, that was a long time ago. This was in the 90s, 2000. I mean, yeah, last year, sure. But most of those were like mid-90s Schottenheimer years.
Yeah.
Who you got now? Andy Reid. Well, fuck.
The logical progression of Marty Schottenheimer's career is Andy Reid.
So Andy Reid, who when in Philly, how many times did he get Donovan McNabb and that team just outside that Super Bowl?
Snake bit.
And yeah, could only get in there once. So, yeah, if you're the Chiefs, it's hard to be excited about this season because you've seen them all end far too early in the past.
A victory for the Chiefs in Kansas City over these Colts, I think, would dispel a lot of their problems.
Oh, yeah.
I think would be a real exorcism for them and go, okay, whoever we got, Chargers, Patriots, I think we can do this. I think the Chargers are a pretty good shot against the Patriots. We'll get into that a little bit later. I'm going to take the Chiefs in this game just because they've been so good all year. They're at home. Mahomes has had some rest. They have some rest.
They got the talent on their side. They really do if you look at it up and down.
They really do. And Mahomes may not have been able to play last year, but Mahomes went to the playoffs last year and saw Alex Smith get punched in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
There is some experience there. It may not be physical experience, but I don't think it's going to take him quite as long to get going in this one.
You know, I'm looking at these games. I'm trying to see, like, is there an upset? Because usually there is. Usually it's not every home team that won. Last week, only one did.
Yep.
So I'm like, okay, who could lose this? And this is the one that comes to mind. Because I like the Saints and where they're at right now. I don't know, Rams. I don't know.
I'm picking. You know, I'm picking
Patriots and Chargers here. Yeah. You know what? Let me throw caution the wind. I'm gonna go Colts. I'm gonna go Colts in this one just because I don't trust these Chiefs and Andy Reid to win the big game. I feel like something's gonna happen. I feel like ball control might be on the Colts side, running the ball with Mac, where the Chiefs don't have that running game anymore. I don't know what happened to that.
No, I wonder what happened to your running back.
This is the matchup of the most touchdown passes between two quarterbacks in playoffs ever, with Luck and Mahomes equaling 89 touchdowns in the regular season.
Criminy shit.
So, I think it's going to be a fun one, no matter what.
Fireworks show, baby. Let's do this.
Let's do it. But it makes sense, for what I saw in the wild card, that Andrew Luck has the history in the playoffs and Mahomes doesn't yet, like you're saying. So yeah, I'll take the Colts in this one, but I got nothing against these Chiefs. In fact,
no,
mostly AFC. I want any of these teams but the Patriots.
Yeah, please, just
there.
Whoever can beat the Patriots, please advance.
I'll be a big Chiefs fan when it comes February 2nd if you make it. I really will. So let's see what happens. All right, let's move on. The Saturday night game. This is our 2 minute no offense. Seahawks 22 Cowboys 24. Dan,
oh, man.
We both took the Cowboys.
We did. I was very nervous when you picked the Cowboys because I'm like, well, if there it fucking goes, Scott picked the Cowboys.
Now when they're home, they got this.
We were the team we are supposed to be in this game. This was the Cowboys' blueprint. This is why we built the team this way. I know that the final score was 22-24. It wasn't that close. Hmm. This was a 24-14 game. We beat them, and we beat them good. We stopped the run. We stopped Russell Wilson from scrambling. Aside from two or three absolutely fucking absurd passes by Russell Wilson, one of which should never have been caught by humans, could only have been assisted by angels in the outfield. Man. That's it. That's the only big plays. They gashed us with big plays that were perfectly thrown that were undefensible.
You're talking about the toe drag by Baldwin on the sidelines there?
That's fucking crazy.
I couldn't believe
that was insane. There's no reason why he should have been able to catch that. There's no reason why he should have been able to throw that. Mm. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blame it. And then when you don't guard Lockett at the end of the game, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, I don't give a shit.
Turned out it. Okay, yeah.
Aside from that, we crushed these fucking Seahawks.
You guys did. Controlled the ball. Elliott was there again. 169 total yards from scrimmage and a touchdown. Cooper over 100 yards again. So the guys showed up that you needed to. Prescott's rushing touchdown at the end was real cool.
He's a grown-ass man.
Flipped over there. He's down at the one-yard line, but then they did get it in later. Did they call back and get it in? Or
so he ran one in and just missed it, and then he ran one
that
in.
That other one that gets flipped was the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Hearns with that real bad ankle hurt.
Brutal.
Didn't see it immediately. And you're like, oh, God, yeah, there it is.
When you saw it on replay and then you're watching it at slow speed and then you see the pop.
It's like foot, and now his ankle's on the turf.
Yeah. This was bad. You feel bad for Allen Hearns. He says he's going to be ready by the regular season. I don't think so. I think he's starting on the pup list minimum, if not starting on injured reserve.
They got that ankle surgery done right away and they're like, oh, he'll be fine. It's like, this is the time you say those things. We'll see.
Yeah.
The Seahawks lose Janikowski at the end of the half, trying to kick a 50-plus yard field goal, and immediately grabs his hamstring.
40-year-old man trying to kick a 50-something yard field goal,
look
ice
like,
cold.
Like a dad out there playing basketball with his son, and he goes up for a layup. My back!
Ah, boy, you got to take care of the family.
I'm done.
He leans to Michael Dixon and
I was an athlete in my prime.
You won't believe this, but it's true.
Seabass. So he was done, and then all of a sudden, Dixon's got to be the guy, so he's – they have to go for two. They're not kicking field goals. They're going for on fourth down two. And then they have to try an onside kick with a punter. Onside kicks already are so awful this season. 8% are getting completed.
Yeah, not good.
That this punt drop thing just goes right
through. And he'd never tried it before.
No, it was an awful scenario for him, man. However, let's take a step back and go, what the hell's wrong with onside kicks here? They got to do something about this, right?
Well, because they've been trying to be so pro-safety.
Yeah.
I understand it. Now, onside kicks used to be fucking exciting, and they're just not anymore. When they happen, you're like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, oh, that's weird. You recovered it. That shouldn't happen.
No.
I think what's going to happen is you're going to wind up going, when you do an onside kick, it's going to be like 2-on-2 or like 3-on-2.
Yeah, limit the people. Yeah. Put somebody out there to block and then somebody catch and that's all you get or something. I don't know.
Just to kind of limit the amount of shit that can happen.
Right.
Because if you're trying to reduce impacts, that's the way to do it. And clearly they're doing a little bit of calculus with the guys. I mean, yeah. Like, you have to be evenly spread. You can't overload one side. You can't have a running start.
Can't jump over the line until somebody touches it. It was called like a illegal touch in the first kick.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird stuff. So make some rules for it, but make it possible to happen so that when a team needs to make a crazy comeback, it's still on the table. Because 2-score lead with under 2 minutes now, you're like, well, I'll just turn this off. That team won.
Yeah, it made the end of the game unexciting because I was sitting there with my wife. She's like, did the Cowboys win? There's 2 minutes left to go. And I was like, no, but at this point, if they lost, I don't think I'd be able to handle it. But I knew when they went for the onside kick, I was like, oh, yeah, no, this is fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine. If we lose this, we deserve to lose it because it's a fucking onside.
There's no way, you can miss it. A lot of criticism with the Seahawks offensive coordinator, Schottenheimer, this week. He's running the ball too much. He didn't give the ball to Wilson to throw it a lot.
He did it all year.
Yeah.
That's how they got here.
True.
You know, we stopped that fucking run. It wasn't that they couldn't get it going. We fucking stopped it.
But if you're the Seahawks and you want to play football that way moving forward, Russell Wilson's contract's up after this year. You want to pay him $30 million to hand the ball off?
I mean, after seeing what he did in the fourth quarter, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I do. Right. I want Russell Wilson there as an option, as my weapon option.
Yeah, that's not a bad choice. Okay, so Seahawks lose this one. Cowboys with a big win. Like I was saying, this was the game that had the competition that both teams have been there and they know what was at stake. So that's a big win for the Cowboys. Can they do it again as they head to LA to play the Rams this Saturday, who have a little bit of experience too, probably just as much as Dak at this point?
Fuck Jared Goff to death. I'm picking the goddamn Cowboys to roll into that shit ass, no fan support having stadium and rolling over these Ram-ass bitches.
Dan, the Dallas Cowboys have not won a road playoff game since 1992.
We're due. That's what that says to me, baby. It says we're due.
The only other thing I got about
Zeke was not alive back then.
Before I go to the stats about this game, let me think about it too here. I like the Rams putting on a better show than they did against Atlanta last year when they got knocked out. That's what I'm thinking heading into this initially. Is it enough, though, with this strong Cowboys defense? I think if it is a low-scoring game, that's what the Cowboys want. If it is a game over 21 to 24 points, that's going to be a Rams side game. So you're looking at a difference of, keeping the Rams down there around 20 points. And if they're doing more than that, good luck, because I don't think Dak and Zeke can keep up.
There is no guarantee that Todd Gurley is healthy.
That's true, too.
That's the big difference to me. There is no guarantee that he's healthy. I have Aaron Donald going up against Zach Martin, who has not been... I mean, he made an All-Pro, but I didn't think he actually deserved it this year.
Mm.
Hasn't been himself. We are going to run this ball down their fucking throat. We're going to have to. Mm-hmm. We're going to run this ball down their fucking throat. And if we don't, we are going to have so many fucking motions and options and shit like that. I don't think these Rams are ready for what we're going to do. I just can't wait. I just can't wait, Scott. I think we're going to win this fucking thing in L.A. I think we're going to the NFC Championship game.
Ooh, it's an exciting game. I do think it will be close. I think the Rams have come down to earth. A bye week might not have even helped them at this scenario, other than getting Gurley maybe healthy. That's a big thing they needed. But after that, could they get stale here? That was the problem last year, honestly, coming off of their bye. No, they lost the wild card round. Then they went on to the next one. I'm losing track of last year's playoffs. But, Yeah, and then it's a night game in L.A. There was a lot of dew on that field, a lot of slipping and stuff going on. If that happens, that seems to be better for a defensive side of the ball in a game like that too. However, this Rams team is going to be on their best here. They have the experience in the playoffs now. Most of this team was there last year when their season came to an end abruptly. They have less people above them than they did last year, too, with the Eagles and the Vikings and even the Saints around that time and the Falcons and stuff, thinking like they're going to keep up with them. Now they're only looking at the Saints above them, and the Cowboys are coming to their town. I got to think I'm going to take the Rams in this one at home, but it's going to be close.
Jared Goff going to get punched in the mouth. I think this is going to be the worst game in Jared Goff's career.
I mean,
can't wait.
You got to love that I'm taking the Rams. So
I do. I do. There's the only thing that would make this better than a Cowboys victory. Is a Cowboys victory and an end to the confidence of Jared Goff. Just a complete conclusion to his career where he's like, well, I can't do this. You guys are right. Dan, you've been right the whole time. Wow, this fucked me up. I think I'm going to go become a Mormon missionary.
But from what you saw from Goff this season, he's not a lost cause anymore, right?
Sure, whatever. Okay. He is this week, motherfucker.
That's
what
I got. I got that much out of you this week. That's all right. All right, here, this is a stat. This is the most frequent matchup in NFL postseason history. This will be the ninth time that the Rams and the Cowboys meet each other.
The 80s were a thing.
That's the thing, is it would mean nothing to you and me because they have not played each other since 1985.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so far back in the 70s and 80s when those teams were there. And
I was
so
not
good.
Born.
Right. Neither of us were really paying a whole lot of attention. I was two in that one, but I really, that was the Bears year. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, you shouldn't have been.
Currently, the matchup is 4-4 with both teams equal. Rams have won the last two, however. Again, that was back in the 80s.
Then we're due.
Can you guess the other three matchups in the playoffs? It's just one of those guessing things because I don't really have the crazy stats for the end. That were at 8, that were even with this one until this matchup was on the books.
I'm going to say Colts-Patriots.
Nope, that's not one of them. I'll give you a hint, though. Two NFC games, one AFC.
I'm going to say...
I think 80s.
Okay. I'm going to say Niners-Cowboys.
Those two teams are in these, but not against each other.
Niners-Bears?
Niners-Giants.
Ah, that makes sense.
Right.
Makes sense.
They're 4-4 even. Cowboys-Packers.
Ah,
4-4,
yes,
and that's got to go
yes.
way back into the 60s and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Any guess the AFC? Any guesses on the AFC matchup?
AFC, I'm going to say Raiders-Chiefs.
No. Think of one of the teams that been in the Super Bowl constantly.
Patriots.
And another. I'm going to give it to you. Broncos-Steelers.
Yeah.
And the
yeah,
Broncos
that
lead that one 5-3. Steelers
are
the ones trying to get you out. Broncos, yeah. So there's the other matchups in the playoffs you see a lot, but we get the Cowboys and Rams. All right. This is a good time. We discussed the two there. We gave you a whole lot at the top of the show.
You guys
about
got
the
a lot
QBs.
Of coaching information.
So let's take a little break as we like to take breaks, and we'll be right back with the last two and wrapping us up. This is the push off. Push off. Thank you all for sticking around. We
no two-minute no offense.
No two-minute no offense. You're just going to have to keep sticking with us here.
How bad would that playoff game have to be?
To be in the two-minute no offense? I'd be Patriots beating up on the Titans again.
True.
I think we shoved that one.
Yeah.
We just discussed the Saturday game, so let's head on to Sunday. Everybody got a nice rest, and on to the next. The noon game on Sunday last week was Chargers at Ravens, where the Chargers won it 23-17. We both had the Chargers. Game wasn't as close as the score.
No, it really wasn't. It was good to see Lamar start to get a little bit of his confidence back. There was a graphic that went up there where basically he hadn't completed a pass in 2 hours.
Oof, yeah.
Really bad.
I mean, they had halftime between that, and they were doing like by minute, and
but
it was like,
still, that's fucking, that's not good, Lamar. Lamar Jackson did not look good in the first half. This is, once again, he's a rookie. Didn't look good in the first half.
And he's kind of just one thing.
When he cut it loose in the fourth quarter, this thing got a little bit scarier. There
was
ability there. This was not Lamar Jackson's game from the get-go.
No.
Neither one of us picked these Baltimore Ravens to win it.
Right.
Because we knew something like this was going to happen.
Right.
the way Ingram, the way Bosa got after him.
It's yeah, there's two sides of this. One is the Chargers are a very good team. Yep. Yes, they're a wild card because they tied the Chiefs, and the Chiefs won a tiebreaker. But
they tied the number one seed
in
the AFC.
This is the one team really you didn't want to play this week, and the Ravens got them. Sorry. But the Ravens, you did have them a couple weeks ago, and you beat them, so you shouldn't feel totally down on yourself.
No.
However, Chargers jumped on this one fast. Mike Badgley, or as known as now, the Money Badger.
Oh, I like that.
Money Badger. 5 for 6 for field goals. Had four of them in the first half. Is 12-0 right at the half. And then missed that one right after the second half to, you know, go up by 15-0. Chargers kept moving the ball, but they kept kicking field goals, which did keep the game somewhat close, kept the Ravens in it. But, yeah, because it was such an inept offense on the Ravens' side, because the running wasn't working, and then they fell behind. Around halftime, around third quarter, there was all this talk in the booth and then in the stands of, why not Joe Flacco?
I'll tell you exactly why not Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Because you're done with Joe Flacco.
Right. That's the problem. Yeah.
We broke up, why not a booty call? Because you got to move the fuck on, bro. You got to move the fuck on.
We broke up, why not a booty call?
Yeah. You got to move the fuck on, man. You got to start dating other people. Joe is just there in case Lamar gets injured.
Yeah.
You cannot take a healthy Lamar Jackson out of this game after he got you there. There was a conversation I had on the sidelines where the fans in Baltimore put Joe in, and I can't remember who it was on the Ravens.
Smith,
he said,
the corner.
Number 8 got you here.
Yeah.
8 got you here. Joe didn't get you here. Joe got you a Super Bowl, but he didn't get you here this year. This was Lamar. All Lamar.
I like that he did that. I disagree with him calling them fair weather fans, which he does. They're not fair weather fans would have gotten up and left.
Yeah.
They're there hoping their team comes back, cheering for another guy who is still in the uniform, who's getting paid and wearing the helmet on the sidelines for
some
reason.
They're frustrated.
So it's all within their right to be a backseat coach, but it's Harbaugh's choice, and the Harbaughs are, I mean, he's going to get an extension here for the way he dealt with this. Either they noticed the season was ending and they go, let's just let this thing end. Or, yeah, they thought that way. Jackson's the one who got us here. We're not going to go throw Flacco in. And even if Flacco somehow starts throwing the ball around and wins it, what are we going to do next week? Go to Flacco, come back to Jackson?
Yeah.
It's a big old headache that you don't need, so you might as well see what Jackson can do.
You have to. And honestly, I thought he composed himself pretty well in the fourth quarter. He made a couple crazy plays near the end. Just showed you what his ceiling is.
Okay, a little bit there. I felt like the Chargers changed their defense about 6 minutes and 30 seconds left in this game.
They did. It went full prevent.
They were up 23-3 at that point, and they're like, yeah, we can sit back now. And they did, and so that gave Jackson more time to run around there. There were a couple, you're right, those throws, and you're like, oh my God, but one of them was like to Dixon, where the soon-to-be defensive rookie of the year, I'm blanking on his name, and I'm trying to...
Oh, Derwin James?
Thank you. Derwin James is up there, and he should have had an interception, but it's just fingertips away from him, and then Dixon standing right behind him, and he's gone for 20 more yards. Just over. I mean, if Derwin James reads that a little bit better, it's an interception. We're not talking about it, so I wouldn't call it a good throw. It's a lucky throw.
I was going to say, I didn't know Darius Leonard was on the Chargers, but okay.
Yeah. Also, Jackson fumbled 3 times. Yeah. He only lost one, and that was the last one, which was also a shitty way to end this
He's
game
had
for
ball
him.
Control issues the whole year, he's going to have to work on that.
Led the league of QBs in fumbles, and he started week 11, so that is a big old problem.
He's going to work on that. He's just too relaxed with the ball in his hand in the pocket, which you like that.
No, true.
But let's get a little bit more ball security there.
And understandable.
It sucked to see the game end that way.
Yeah.
But you know, you live by the fumble, die by the fumble.
I was going for the Chargers the whole way through, I realized. I was like, no, I really want these Chargers to win. The Ravens, they've had some success in recent history. Chargers, oh my God, they've just kind of been shitted on all this time.
I was rooting for Lamar and the Chargers.
Okay.
I was not rooting for the Ravens. I was rooting for Lamar and the Chargers. I wanted them both to have a good game. Unfortunately, only one of them did.
Yeah. Chargers in this game on defense using a lot of coverage guys instead of linebackers.
They ran a very interesting quarter defense.
Yeah.
Very interesting in that they basically just had only safeties at the linebacker position. I think it was an overcorrection. I think they basically won this game with the front four. I don't think I don't think the quarter defense made a difference, honestly. I know that's weird.
Well, yeah, it was an interesting way to go about it, but you're right. Melvin Ingram was kind of the guy that was in his face the whole time.
And he was getting in his face inside of 2 seconds.
The strip was one of those safeties hitting it out, and that might have been speed around the side that did it for him in that one play. You're right, but yeah, maybe it was just more the Chargers and their pass rush is very good now with Bosa back.
Yeah, Lamar looked confused, but he also looked like he had no time to not be confused, so... This was a well-coordinated game by the Chargers.
Against a rookie quarterback.
If you're the Chargers offense, you're also not super down on yourself because this is the Ravens defense that was just fucking stifling all year. So you can walk away with your head held high and go,
absolutely.
We face the Ravens. The Patriots are not as good. We're ready to do this thing. Our defense is ready for them.
No, there's a very good chance that if the Ravens had a couple of drives in the first half, that this defense would have kept them down even further than just 23 points, and it would have been even tougher to win. So they just got tired by the end. Judon got hurt at one point, too, and he was kind of playing through that. So, yeah, it was an impressive win for the Chargers against a very good defense and an offense that just wasn't there yet. If they can figure out how to play Jackson, if they can get him some weapons or figure out how that option game works in that backfield, yeah, look for the Ravens next year.
I think so. I think the Ravens are a wild card team next year. I think they're going to improve.
I think Brown's going to take that division.
I think
that
Brown's
taking
the division next year.
He's taking this.
Sorry, everybody. I think it's true.
All right, and then... let's move on. So the Chargers are going to be playing Sunday at noon in New England versus the Patriots.
Fuck the Patriots. I'm taking the Chargers.
The forecast is calling for 3 to 5 inches of snow, 30 degrees. However, Hunter Henry will be back on the field. He is getting activated. Melvin Gordon is dealing with a knee sprain, though.
I feel like Philip Rivers is like, forecast calling for 3 to 5 inches of my dick. And they're like, Philip, that's not really a brag. He's like, I'm just accurate. I'm just telling you what's up.
Someone else said, too, that like the last time the Patriots lost a playoff game, it was snowing and stuff like that, too. So there's little things there. It doesn't mean that gives New England the benefit over the L.A. team.
No.
This is a Chargers team without a home. They play on the road. That's how they play.
This is what they are built to do. If I'm the New England Patriots, I'm very nervous. And I think they're going to lose this game. The Patriots are still the Patriots.
I know.
But the Chargers are not the old Chargers. They're a better version of that team.
They're
better and they're ready to go.
I agree with that. The Chargers are ready to go. It's going to be a very good game. Here's the thing. It's Belichick. It's Brady. It's the Patriots. They have been here. They've done this dozen times over, literally, in the playoffs.
True.
That I feel like they'll play it as a regular game, and Rivers, somewhere deep in his head, will go, this is only the second closest I've been, and then I tore my ACL, and I had to play through it in the championship week. I got to do it. I only got so many years left. I feel like Brady and Belichick aren't going to panic. This team is so even keel, and I'm going to go with that team that knows how to play in the playoffs. I hope I'm wrong. I'm going to be a biggest Chargers fan Sunday, but I am picking the Patriots.
The world is rooting against the Patriots.
If you're not a Patriots fan, you are a Chargers fan. It's Sunday at 12:05 Central Standard.
It's funny because the Cowboys are kind of the same way. You're not rooting for the Rams. No one's rooting for the Rams. You're either rooting for the Cowboys or against the Cowboys. That's it. And you're either rooting...
Are you talking to me personally?
No,
are you
just
saying
most
this
people.
Out loud to most people?
So most people.
Are you saying this as you hope that this is a real thing?
I don't think people root for the Rams.
Oh.
People root against the Cowboys facing the Rams.
Against the Cowboys. That might
That's
be
all you're doing. You're rooting against the Cowboys or you're rooting for the Cowboys. For the Patriots, you're either rooting for the Patriots or you're rooting against the Patriots.
Mm.
That's the only way this works.
Okay.
I would love to see... There's a part of me that would love to see Patriots-Cowboys.
Sure.
When football, you know, football for America's team, for the title of America's team, who fucking knows. But I think this Patriots team is going to lose this game to these very, very improved Chargers.
One thing you and I didn't do last week, I felt bad about it, was like pick who we think is going to go to the Super Bowl with the playoffs as is kind of thing. I personally, and it sounds maybe like a lie right now, but I wasn't going to take one of those teams that lost. I wasn't going to pick the Bears.
But I wasn't either.
Initially, what I was thinking the matchup would probably be is Saints-Patriots. So I feel like it's heading that way. Now it's going to be interesting to see how these guys now play. I haven't seen the Saints and Patriots play in the playoffs yet, so maybe it changes my mind this week, or maybe one of them does get knocked out, but that's what I was thinking heading into the playoffs.
Cowboys-Chargers.
Well,
That's what you honestly thought. That's my wet dream and what I honestly thought, because I don't not think my dreams.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not one of those weird people that want my dreams into existence.
I go, that's just a dream. Don't get your hopes up, Scott. That's me.
I believe. I'm a true believer.
All right, let's move on to the last game of the weekend. That was the Sunday afternoon one in Chicago. Eagles 16, Bears 15, a tight one-score game. I didn't pick it. Dan, you had the Eagles in this one.
It's true, I did.
You've picked the Eagles 2 weeks in a row, and all of a sudden they're winning.
Never again! Never again! This Bears team, this defense, was legit.
Mm-hmm.
Legit. They were a bend-but-don't-break team. They let Nick Foles kind of march down there. They got him on two real bad interceptions that they just basically tricked him into. So, great job there. But Mitch Trubisky was almost non-existent through the first half of this game.
Yeah.
He started to put it together, and everybody wants to lay this on Cody Parkey. But the Bears offense scored 15 fucking points. 9 of those points were from Cody Parkey.
And a lot of the reason why they were down there for field goals and stuff was the defense and short fields. It was a field game possession game. Mostly the Bears, you can count on, one touchdown drive on their offense.
That's it.
That's all you got out of them. So I agree, too, there. However, the stats, you look at that, and that shows a different thing. Trubisky, 303 yards and a touchdown. He becomes the first QB for the Bears to ever throw for 300 yards in a playoff game.
Jesus, really?
I mean,
wow.
When you look at the history, it's never been the offense for the Bears. So the defense needed to be there. Eagles were getting that ball out fast. There was one sack all game on Nick Foles. And he's not a scrambling guy. He's not a guy that's hard to get down. He just got the ball out.
That's the thing that makes them so dangerous, is you don't give the defense time to tee off and hit you.
Mm-hmm.
You basically say, the worst person to have this ball in their hands is Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Let's get that thing the fuck out. And Nick Foles will throw up some deep bombs, just giving shit a try. But it's out of his hand, and it's accurate.
But you're right. This was another game where both sides were playing not to lose in the first half.
Yeah.
6-3 score at the end of the half was like, oh, my God, I don't know if I can do this again. I didn't feel like maybe a little bit was defense. I felt like it was bad quarterback play by both of them early.
It was. Nick Foles was going to be able to get away with it at the end, but Trubisky needed to be sharper. Sure, he wound up putting it together somewhere about like the late second quarter.
Well, Trubisky would have gotten away with it as he did in the regular season, if like that one interception, the guy didn't get touched when he was going to take him to the ground and got up and ran to the end zone. They're like, no, you're down back here. If that was a touchdown on the defense, that's what was getting the Bears wins in the regular season. And they didn't get that.
They needed Trubisky to be a hero, and he wasn't capable of doing it yet. Right. However, I saw more from Mitch Trubisky in this game from the pocket than I thought I would. There were a couple fucking ropes.
Well,
he threw a couple dimes in this game. That was really interesting too.
That the dime started showing up later when he had a scramble out there where he stepped weird on his foot, started limping, went into the tent. When he came out, he stopped running. He had like 9 yards the rest of the game running there. He was throwing it deep down the field on second movements to Robinson. That was the best game Allen Robinson had as a Bear, and finally you got your money's worth out of the guy.
Yeah,
and a great offseason pickup, like we said it was, and immediately when they got him. Eagles started to get touchdowns in the second half, though. That kind of started to become the difference. And then the fourth down and goal touchdown to Golden Tate. Golden Tate finally gets
worth
something,
that money.
Too. So all of a sudden, that third-round draft pick there. Heard a rumor that the Patriots also offered a third-round draft pick for Golden Tate, and the Eagles decided that the draft pick would be better, or the Eagles. The Lions decided the draft pick would be better to give it to the Eagles.
Funny.
So far, it might be, or maybe it might not
be. We'll see. We'll find out this weekend.
It's pretty even now. It's not going to be a great one in the late third round now.
I want to talk a little bit about that kick.
Yeah, we're there now. 43-yarder. Did get blocked. It got blocked.
It got a little bit of a tip. One, we got to give it up a little bit. What a great call to ice the kicker.
Mm-hmm. It worked.
We talk about, like, I know that seems stupid, but like giving a guy a little bit more time to think about it.
I felt like it had to happen here, especially Cody Parkey, who's problems.
He missed more kicks than anybody
in the league. That won't do anything, but Cody Parkey, yeah.
You can ice Cody Parkey. Now, he nailed it on the first one. And as soon as that happened, I was like, this game's over. He's not going to make the next one. I just felt it. I just felt it in my bones.
You know I wasn't cheering for the Bears.
True.
Most people out there know I wasn't cheering for the Bears. The reason why is you don't gloat when the Bears are knocking my Vikings out of their season. You don't do that. That's just going to lead you to get a villain.
Yeah.
So I was, had my hands folded over going, hit that yellow. hit that yellow one more time, Cody. I know that. You got it in you.
Hit that fucking crossbar.
And it did not disappoint, and I love watching the reaction videos of people now on YouTube.
He did it twice. Oh, it
also,
so glorious.
It was in a way that from what I saw from reaction stuff like that, now I watched the game just at my place by the end. It was the end of Sunday. I was exhausted. You see Bears fans like the, yes, wait, did it not? I saw actually a video of an Eagles fan and a Bears fan standing next to each other wearing their team's jerseys, and they both celebrated at the same time, stopped, looked at the other, and then when they saw the ref say no, that one guy went no, and the other guy goes yes. It was so interesting to watch that, because the double doink, as they're calling it, the double doink game, it looked like it could have gone in, and it was probably a milliliter or a bounce or a corner of that football oblong shape way to fall in.
Just hit the ball on the wrong side of the crossbar. Man.
That's what's made this the best game of the playoffs so far, is how tight this was and how back and forth it was to the end there. Had you on your seat. All right, what's the little stats I got in this one now?
12-4 out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that it's disappointment. That's the other thing, though. So I got to take it back and go, I know your pain. Bears fans,
yeah.
If somebody knows your pain, it's a Vikings fan that's speaking right now. you'll never trust another kicker.
Scott Hogan's here for you.
It has nothing to do.
Robbie Gould was in the building too.
Robbie Gould was there with his kids.
He's a free agent.
He's a free agent. But Cody Parkey is on the books for $3.5 million fully guaranteed next year. If the Bears cut him, they have to pay him that. It's a kicker though. So I don't.
It's a ransom for the soul of your team. You have to rid yourself of Cody Parkey.
But then what? You're going to pay Robbie Gould another $8 million, and then you're paying $10.5 million
for
your
Gould
kicker.
Robbie Gould to come back for peanuts. He's just happy to be there.
You hope so, but
if I'm Robbie Gould, I'm like, give me all that money you cut me for.
Oh my God, Robbie Gould can make the money from anybody. Now here's one thing: Robbie Gould did go 82-for-85 since leaving the Bears in his history outside of there. However, he's missed 7 extra points, so he's not infallible.
Yeah.
And he's one of the first guys to say that getting cut by the Bears is what made him a better player.
Yep.
He went back, he studied it over, and he figured out what was going wrong.
I think if you're Robbie Gould, you come in on a fucking golden chariot if you come back to this Bears team, because they say, okay, our kicker's not a problem, we're ready to go. It just gives you an extra bit of confidence for the season.
How about this? The Bears won the turnover margin, +2 with those 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
We talked about the first one I felt like was a good defensive play. The guy jumped in there and grabbed that ball away. Second one was an awful deep pass into the end zone.
Pressure on Foles.
You're throwing an end zone interception. I felt like that was the end of the game.
I thought so too. I thought it was so stupid.
When winning the playoff margin in the playoff, the turnover margin in the playoff, excuse me, in the last 40 years, the record is 112-4.
Wow.
So you count on that offense of making points when the defense turns it over. You count on something to take over the rest that there. That the Bears weren't able to do that, that's not on Cody Parkey.
No, not on Cody Parkey. This game is not the fault of Cody Parkey. They would have won this game 18-16 if they had converted on 2-point conversion.
That's true, too.
But they didn't.
Yeah.
They would have won this game running away if they had converted any of Cody Parkey's earlier field goals into touchdowns.
The Eagles were down there for that last touchdown due to a couple of bad pass interference plays. Now, I'm not saying bad calls. Amos was all over the guys.
They were bad plays by the Bears defense.
Bears defense couldn't guard him there. Now, Eddie Jackson was suited up and active but never put in the game, and it seemed like he was injured, and it was like, if we start really getting burned down the sideline, we'll have to put him in, but I mean, a 15-16 game, they just never found a reason to, I guess.
You play to win the game. You don't play to hold Eddie Jackson and make sure that he stays healthy.
Right.
You play to win the game. Eddie Jackson should have been in there.
So that's it. That's what happens. The Bears are done now for this season, and it's tough to see what they'll do coming back. They're going to have a first place schedule in the NFC North next year.
First-round pick.
No first-round picks gone. They might be out their defensive coordinator, too, with Vic getting a job maybe in Denver. I don't know, Bears. And that's the scary thing is, the youth on this team will be back next year, right? Nothing is a guarantee in this league.
I can see Trubisky reverting. I can see it. But these Bears have some positives. They can look towards the future and be a little bit
glad. Coach of the year. You got a lot of talent you added there. Yeah. We'll see, Bears.
Not a sad time to be a Bears fan.
No, you turned it around. You're on the good side of the coin now, finally.
Congrats.
But what this means is the Philadelphia Eagles and Big Nick Nick are still swinging around. You got that out, Big Dick Nick. Eagles at Saints. That's the Sunday afternoon game, the last one of the weekend.
All Saints. All Saints. I've been picking the Eagles 2 weeks in a row. I've been picking the Eagles pretty good all year, to be fair to myself. These Eagles are going down.
Now, the last time they matched up, which was in the middle of the season with Wentz still at QB, they lost 48-7. It was that biggest loss by a Super Bowl winning team after the next year ever. The Saints ran up the score on them. And this is something that Todd on our Facebook said. He's like, you guys need to point out that the Eagles want redemption. They want redemption for them to run up the score. It's like, what team that's lost to another team doesn't want redemption?
I want redemption too.
Yeah.
I want a larger tax return.
We are looking for something better there. It's going to take more than just we feel wronged for the Eagles to win this game. Yeah. And I think it's going to take more than just don't worry, Nick Foles is in there and it's the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe this magic just keeps going, but I mean, the Saints look like the great team, and you got to win in the Superdome.
Hard to win in New Orleans. I just don't think the Eagles are up to it. Congratulations on getting your season back to rights.
Yeah.
When Carson Wentz comes back, you're going to get something for Nick Foles, I hope. You know, we'll see. Maybe Nick Foles just walks away, but at least you get a fucking compensatory pick.
So they talked about that. I'm hearing Joe Flacco. We're going to try to trade him. If nobody wants him, we're just going to get rid of him. Nick Foles, whose contract is kind of up and he's making all this bonus money now, is we're going to see if we can trade him. Like, why?
No, you're not going to be able to because he basically, if they keep him on the field, he has to accept the $20 million payday. If I'm Nick Foles, I can probably get more than $20 million guaranteed. I could probably get $30 million guaranteed from some other team
out
there.
So it's his choice to take $20 million and then turn around and get traded.
It's a mutual option. So he could take the $20 million and then you could trade him to a team and he's a $20 million one-year rental. If I'm Nick Foles, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Or I enter free agency as the number one quarterback option.
Yeah.
In a weak quarterback draft league.
Because you can win playoff games, as you've been proven time and again now. Yeah, I mean,
if I've got a defense and no quarterback, I'm making an offer for Nick Foles.
Yeah, if that's the choice, then Nick Foles is a good guy to have there. And if it's his choice too, then, yeah, I don't see why you're taking $20 million. You can make more than that.
Hell yeah.
So that's something to look out for. Here's something. Breeze and Nick Foles are alumni from the same West Lake High School in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, pretty crazy, right?
10 years apart from each other. And Justin Tucker, also an alumni.
Wow. There's a lot of skill down there.
Go to Texas. Get yourself a football player.
Texas gets footballs.
And then, yeah, I had the trade and the Golden Tate thing that I already brought up. This is it, Dan. This was it. So we talked about how good the offenses were in the regular season. Then the defenses kind of equaled it out at the end of the season. We saw a tight, low-scoring games this wild card weekend, but we also saw the first, second, and fourth-ranked defenses get eliminated. So where does that leave us for that divisional round?
It leaves us with the fifth-ranked defense going all the way to the fucking Super Bowl, baby.
It leads us with the Colts coming to Kansas City, the Chargers coming to New England. We got the Cowboys to the Rams and the Eagles to the Saints. That's it. And then we have four teams left. Then we got the Final Four. That's the sport, right?
Yeah, same thing.
Final Four.
Scott, we are less than a month away from the Super Bowl.
I know. I don't want it to come because then it's over. But
then the scouting begins.
Then Dan's Christmas begins, and we start all over again.
You get to finally watch that Alabama-Clemson game.
There you go. Yeah, and put it on the tape. Well, that's it, guys. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We still covered an hour, even though there was only four games this weekend.
God, we love our sound of our own voices.
We can so talk about football even when there's no football. So stick it right here with us through the playoffs and the offseason. We are the Push Off Podcast. This show tries to go up every Wednesday, at least once a week. You should catch us. Check it out on all the places you get your podcasts. And check out all the great podcasts at universehead.com. We are part of that wonderful family of hilarious, interesting, and thought-provoking podcasts.
And dare I say attractive.
Oh, yeah, very attractive.
Yeah.
I'm looking across right now.
Why not?
I'm trying to keep it together.
Devastatingly handsome. Everybody.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us. Hope you enjoyed those playoff games. Dan, your team's still alive. You want to give them some parting words of wisdom?
Yeah. It has been over 20 years since the Cowboys have won a Super Bowl.
Okay, but how long since since the Chargers.
Who fucking cares? There are no Chargers fans out there. Patriots fans, you're fine. Chiefs fans, you're used to this shit. You know, Colts fans, you know what? I'd love to see Andrew Luck win one, but you don't need it this year. You know, maybe a couple more years, get a little seasoning on those rookies. That's when they deserve it. Don't spoil them now. Cowboys faux life.
All right. All right, well, that's what Dan has. But for all you with nothing on the table anymore, enjoy all the games. For all you that's got a horse in the race, best of luck to you, unless it's the Patriots. I am Scott.
And this is Dan.
Thanks for joining us this week. You have a wonderful week. We will see you the next.